May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
In April of 2009, I had a dream one night while on a mission trip in Africa. As the tropical rains pelted against the tin roof of the house where I was staying, it was the bishop's house in Kasese, Uganda, I dreamt that all of the children's bellies were full and they were satisfied. I dreamt that I drove the four-wheel drive down the muddy roads right nearby of the village. And I dreamt that the children were playing, waving, and singing. I dreamt that their mothers prepared family meals over the open-air fires as proud fathers looked on. But then a clap of thunder, and I was awake in the mosquito net draped bed on the floor, and the children were still hungry, listless, suffering from malaria, and some were crying. The Hebrew people slept and dreamt in the desert nights of a Messiah that would rescue them from their slavery, from their hunger, from their oppression. They worshiped and believed in a God that spoke words through the prophet Isaiah, "Comfort, O comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term." Some must have dreamt that the day of the Messiah had come, only to be awakened to the reality of their terrible conditions. Now, however, was no dream. A strange-looking character named John was standing waist-high in the Jordan River, submerging those who waited on the banks, his followers, submerging them in the water and proclaiming that the Messiah was about to arrive. The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The Baptist proclaimed the advent of Jesus Christ. Adventus, from the Latin coming. The coming of Christ, the one who was prophesied by Isaiah and the other prophets centuries before, who would both comfort God's people and challenge them with a new message from God of how we are to live for the kingdom. Jesus had not yet begun his ministry, and all were now in postures of waiting, postures of hoping. The prophet Isaiah had earlier said, "A shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a bud shall blossom. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." God comes to us in something that is small, hidden, and gives the appearance of weakness. God comes to the world as salvation in a tiny infant born to a poor young woman and carpenter from Nazareth. And then as a more mature, poor carpenter wading into the river's water, waiting in that line to be baptized by John and begin his ministry. All of this might seem to be a dream, except for the fact that it has borne truth and witness now for more than 2,000 years. So knowing this truth, what is it that you and I hope for and wait for today. In 1962, Caroline Kennedy, daughter of President John F. Kennedy, wrote the following letter to Santa Claus. "Dear Santa, I would like a pair of silver skates and one of those horse wagons with lucky dips and Susie Smart and candy fashion dolls and a real pet reindeer and a clock to tell time and a covered wagon and a farm, and you decide anything else. And interesting planes or a bumpy thing he can ride in or some noisy thing he can push or pull for John. Love from Caroline. P.S. I would like a basket for my bicycle." As small children, we remember the kinds of things we waited and hoped for. But what is it today? Deep down, do we not wait for that which Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world to bring? Apart from salvation from our sins, Jesus Christ was born, lived, and died, and rose to say that there was a new way to live, that which are the ways of God. This Advent, we see a world troubled deeply by unrest, terrorism, enormous poverty and hunger, and a global financial crisis. Everywhere we turn, we see the world's ominous possibilities. Yet that which we wait for is not just some pious dream, some pie in the sky. Rather, it is the true hope that the Son of God introduced to the world. Hope. When Christ, as John said, baptized the world with the Holy Spirit, it was a baptism that by its very nature emphasized the connectedness of all of humanity, that we are all connected one to another in this church, in this community, in this nation, and in this world, and with God's creation. Maybe, just maybe, we are beginning to finally realize that we are all connected to one another, that all of life is interrelated. Perhaps the judgment of God that could be upon us is that if we do not learn to live together on this globe as brothers and sisters, regardless of race, government, politics, and creed, then we will perish. The commandment of Jesus to love our neighbors as ourselves can no longer be limited to next door, to the person perhaps just like us, but instead must also extend down the road, across Kentucky, across our nation, and across time zones, oceans, and cultures. At the end of the day, the message of waiting in Advent is one that calls us to waiting that is not passive, but rather active. We are participants, active collaborators, in the hope that Jesus Christ brings to the world. We must be working to make straight the highway in the desert for our God. We must be working to lift the valleys and level the mountains. We do this not because it saves us. Christ accomplished that, and we're saved by faith in him alone. We do this rather because we are about bringing the saving works of Jesus Christ to others and the world. And this is a message of Advent that is very, very hopeful. Amen.